There's a story of the Hasidic Rebbe named Reb Yechiel Michal, and it's said that he was always joyful, even in the midst of great poverty and suffering. And at some point, someone came up to him and said, "How can you say the bracha in the morning, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, She'asali Kol Tzarki?" It means, "Blessed are you who fulfills my every need," or "fulfills my every want," can also be translated. And they said, "You obviously have great, great need." And his answer was, "Well, since I have great poverty, that must be what I want." It's a cute story, it's a funny story, because it almost sounds like spiritually heroic, you know, that you could be suffering and need so much, and then say, "Oh, well, maybe that must be what I want. Since I'm saying the blessing, I'm going to defer to the validity of the blessing rather than defer to my own experience." Right? But it's also an example of something that's very deep, a very deep aspect of presence that we might call not knowing. Not knowing. Which is kind of a paradox, because I assume that when you come to something like this, you come to the workshop, then the idea is to learn something, right? Is to get to know something. And yet, the Baal Shem Tov said, when I am at the highest level of knowing, that highest level is the realization that I don't really know anything. So that's the paradox, is that on one hand, it actually takes a great kind of focused intellect to keep in mind the fact that we don't know anything. So it's something we have to know, in a sense. It's something we have to know, and we have to know it really deeply. And yet the knowing itself is the knowing that the mind is a tool. It's a device. It's a device in our heads that we use that's very useful, that we can't do without. But it's not perfect. And in fact, not only is it not perfect, but it can't actually know anything for sure. So if you just kind of do the experiment for a moment, think of all the things you know for sure. But do you really know them for sure? All we really know is what our actual experience is in this moment. If we remember something happened yesterday, then we know for sure that we have a memory of it happening yesterday. But we don't really know that it happened yesterday. Now, why is that useful? Like, most of the time, it's not useful in the practical sense, because in the practical sense, we have to kind of assume that things are true and act on it as if we know. Right? So practically speaking, we have to kind of assume that we know things, and if we don't know them, we have to do our best to find it out, and so on. But the problem in the spiritual sense is that when we assume that our brains are correct, then what tends to happen spontaneously is we invest, this happens unconsciously and unintentionally, but we tend to invest our sense of knowing something with self, meaning we have a sense of me knowing something. Whereas if we do the opposite, if we say, "I think this is true, but I don't really know," like if we kind of keep admitting to ourselves, "I don't really know," right, just keep that in mind, then that becomes a natural environment for humility, which by the way is not a thing. Humility is not like a quality that's the presence of something. It's more just the absence of that clinging. It's the absence of feeling like I know, and having a sense of me that then I have to defend, or I feel insulted. You know, We probably all know people who get offended when you hear political views that are opposed to your views. How could they, right? People get so crazy with political views. But why do you get crazy? I mean, so what? So they're saying something that you think is completely wrong, but why does it make you crazy? It only makes you crazy because there's a natural emotional response to defend yourself. And you only feel like defending yourself if you feel like your opinion is yourself. If you feel, that's called being identified. You're identified with your opinion. That means your consciousness, which is just consciousness. Right? Your consciousness is consciousness. Your consciousness doesn't believe anything or think anything. It's just aware of what's going on. And then the mind, which is also made out of consciousness, but it's a smaller part of the consciousness, the mind believes things, assesses things, has opinions about things. But if you feel like you are just your mind, then it's going to feel very uncomfortable when people have opposite views, especially if you think that those views are damaging or oppressive or whatever, or are going to lead to bad things in the country, or are going to be bad for the Jewish people, you know, whatever it is. If you think that and then you feel like that's me, those opinions are me, then that's going to be very uncomfortable when you hear opposing views. Whereas if you keep reminding yourself, okay, this is what my mind thinks at this point, that's actually the truth. This is what my mind thinks at this point. But I don't absolutely know it for sure. What do we absolutely know for sure? Well, we know what's happening in our experience right now. Right? Maybe you have the experience right now of sitting in the chair and hearing some words. That's what your experience is. So that's what you know for sure, is that what's happening. You don't know what anyone's intention really is. You may not even know what your own deepest intention is. That's the point of that story, is that he's saying, you know what, maybe unconsciously I really want poverty. And I'm choosing to be open to that, even though that might sound absurd, so that I can be in a state of gratitude, so that I can say this bracha. Blessed are you, Hashem She'asali Kol Tzarki, who provides me my every need. It's a profound expression of the fact that we have a choice in every moment, like how to relate to the moment that we're in. We can relate to it in a way that aligns ourselves with it, you know, that doesn't create a drama of tension or resistance or judgment, but just aligns and then makes the best out of it. You know, so that might be a way of describing what it really means to serve the divine. We have all these traditions in Judaism, all kinds of traditions of what you should do to serve the divine. But behind all that, what is it really in essence? We could describe it as like aligning ourselves with whatever our experience is in the moment and doing our best with it. So is it our best to be complainy, or is it our best to give thanks? You know, so the Reb Yechiel Michal is just kind of expressing that and asserting, look, this is our choice in every moment. It doesn't make me a superhuman being. I'm just aware. I don't really know my own deepest motives. So thank God. In the Parsha this week, in the beginning of Vayakhel, it says that the children of Israel should observe Shabbat. And then it says, Kol ha'osei malacha bo yumat. All who do work on it shall die. So it's pretty, sounds like a pretty harsh law. It's like the story of the guy who picks up sticks and they stone him to death, like this ancient kind of tribal punishment system that is completely alien to us in a way. And yet all of these things in the Torah have a deeper level if you kind of work with them and if you kind of go into them. So what is that verse really saying if you look at it? all who do work on it, meaning on the Shabbat, will die, meaning that sense of me that is the one who does the work gets to die on Shabbat. We get identified with our work. We get identified with what we're doing. And the whole point of Shabbat is to let that die, is to let that sense of me that's identified with what we think we know, what we think we accomplished, what our work is, what we're doing in the world, let all that go on Shabbat and just be present. Just be the presence within which reality is unfolding. Another piece of that verse, which is kind of nice, is that it says, Sheshet yamim ta'aseh kol malachtecha, 6 days do all of your work, uvayom hashvi'i shabbat shabbaton lashem, and the 7th day will be a shabbat of shabbats, shabbat shabbaton. So the question is, why does it say shabbat shabbaton? Why doesn't it just say shabbat? It's talking about shabbat, it's not talking about a particular shabbat. So there's a Hasidic teaching on this that says, well, it's Shabbat Shabbaton because really the opportunity is that every day and every moment can be Shabbat, but on the 7th day is your time to ritualize it. You actually put aside your work and your money and everything so you can actually experience it more. But every moment is Shabbat if you learn how to let go of what you think you know. If you learn how to constantly, and it's kind of a moment by moment thing. We have to always remember it, and that's why it's a paradox. Kind of like the Amalek thing, like remember to forget it. It's a paradox. We have to remember to constantly remind ourselves that we don't really know, that our minds are not holding any absolute knowledge, and that what we're constantly living in and confronting is mystery, that all we really know for sure is what is occurring in our experience in this moment, and that it's absolutely our choice in every moment to align ourselves with the divine will. That's one way of describing it. Or you could just say aligning yourselves with reality, with what is. Using your full given gift to be a blessing. So I wanted to chant the words that come from Tehillah, come from a psalm that's in some versions of the morning liturgy. It says, who can ascend the mountain of the divine, something like that. And it says, the one who is holech tamim, the one who walks with wholesomeness. In other words, it's the same thing of what we're talking about, being whole in the moment, allowing the moment to fully be what it is, and then responding with sincerity, with your best effort to just bring forth whatever the blessing is in the moment. Holech tamim. Then it goes on to give specific examples of that, like someone who doesn't like screw over your friends, you know, someone who tells the truth. It gives like a little list of nice ethical things. But the first thing it says is holech tamim, means walks in wholesomeness or moves through life with a pure heart, with a pure intention. So we could sing the melody with those words, holech tamim. Holech tamim, holech tamim, holech tamim, holech tamim. Right hand to your heart, Holech Tamim. Moving in this moment in wholeness, in purity, which just means being open to reality as it is, not clinging to ideas, knowing that we don't really know, but offering awareness as a gift to this moment as it unfolds, to this moment as an expression of reality, an expression of the divine. Chanting Lecha for you, breathing in. Lecha. And also bringing left hand to your belly. Realizing that you can take responsibility for living in a way that is present by grounding awareness in the body and bringing awareness down into your hips and down into your legs. Awareness like a healing energy, a healing light, filling your organs, your bones, your muscles, all the systems, down into your feet and toes. And also shining upward to encompass and fill your heart and your lungs, shoulders and neck, relaxing any excess tension. Shining down into your arms. Down into your hands and fingers. And rising into your face, into your skull, your brain. Bringing a little smile to your lips. To express this basic positivity, this basic openness. And resting awareness in the flow of your breathing. Each breath, each movement, Holech Tamim. And expressing this body awareness with Naase, breathing in. And with left hand on the belly, also bringing right hand to touch your forehead, becoming aware of the space of awareness that is beyond your body, filling your body, mimale kol almin, and also surrounding your body, sovev kol almin, without border or boundary, receiving whatever your senses are receiving, the sounds and sense of the room around you, as well as sensation and feeling and thought within the body. You are this open space of awareness, Vinishma, breathing in. Kissing fingers, relaxing hands. Relaxing into Atahu. Now is the divine, the fullness of everything that appears in the space that is your consciousness, that is you actually, as consciousness. Atahu. Continuing to allow Atahu to vibrate on the mental level. Sitting in openness to whatever is arising in your experience. Aware of emotions, feelings. Aware of thoughts. Aware of body sensation. Aware of sounds, not by straining or trying in any way, but just open to what happens. And if you notice yourself getting drawn into a thought, starting to think about something and using your mind in that way, so you just gently and without judgment, just bring it back to Atahu, letting the thought go. This might happen many, many times as you're meditating. That's totally fine. Just bring it back. Practicing being. And we'll sit for about 18 minutes. closing with the three portals, bringing right hand to your heart once again, offering awareness as a gift to this moment as it is with Lecha, breathing in. Lecha. And left hand also on your belly, connecting with your body and the flow of your breathing. Na'ase, breathing in. Na'ase. And right hand to your forehead, aware of the open field of awareness itself, that you are this open field. Vinishma, breathing in. Vinishma. Kissing fingers, Atahu, Osei Shalom Bimramav, Hu Yasei Shalom Aleinu, Vialko Yisrael, Vialko Yoshvei Tevel, Vimru, Amen. Amen. I want to suggest an inquiry practice for this week. So for this time, what do I really know right now? What do I really know right now? Very powerful question. It allows the mind to be something that you can observe. You can see your mind as a tool, very quickly disidentify from the mind, see what your thoughts are, and then also, so that's what you don't know, is what the mind thinks. But then, what do you know brings you into connection with whatever your actual experience is in the moment. Have a very blessed week, and davening tomorrow morning, I assume? Yes. Yeah, for those who are here, 8:15 and tomorrow morning. And I'll see you either then or Shabbat. Thank you. Be well.